this is Steve, and Jeff and Ryan is back here. Jeff's son.
Hello. We just finished the Los Angeles gathering.
The LA gathering, which is today's date. It's the 22nd, April 22nd, 2017. So I'll start out by saying a little bit about today. Today was also the day that there was the Record Store Day show at Fingerprints Music in Long Beach. I made it down there. There's a pretty good crowd. It sounded great, but it was too crowded to actually buy a record. So I was happy to say that we were able to buy the Man in the Camo Jacket vinyl LP at the Gathering USA. So what were your overall impressions of the Gathering USA, Jeff? LA Gathering LA USA.
Okay, my overall impression was that Richard Blade was sitting right in front of me.
Richard Blade was there, and Richard Blade actually dances to Alarm Song. Like, Richard Blade is a music nerd.
He's a music nerd.
But it's awesome, but he likes music, which awesome is really
dude.
Cool.
He still looks like he's 35. But my overall impression was just ass-kickery.
Yeah. I want to say, let's go back. Richard Blade is writing a book, and he said that he thought that the alarm figured prominently in his story, which is interesting. Anyway, enough about Richard Blade, but it was really cool that Richard Blade was there.
I mean, we all know Richard Blade is the New Romantics were more a figure in the popularity on K-Rock, which really got them pushed over the edge. But there were some rock bands, and he did mention a few of them, and we all know The Alarm was one of them. And so it's going to figure into his book, which sounds fantastic.
Sounds cool. And I'd like to say that, and by the way, we're driving home in a car, so that's what the audio sounds like it does. I want to say that...
It also might sound like you're in a recording studio.
Maybe. The car does not have a lot of sound. It's electric.
That I did record some of the interview that Mike and Richard Blade did in after the movie between that and the concert. So we'll probably put in a little bit of that because there were some interesting questions and answers. So the Man in the Camo Jacket. Oh, wait a minute. Before we get there, Ryan, what'd you think about the whole thing?
Ryan is only 12. And he is an Alarm fan. He's played him songs. He likes some Alarm songs. What did you think of it, little man? You were up late.
It was good. It was damn good.
Did you like the songs?
Yeah.
Did you like the Man in the Camo Jacket movie? Was it inspiring?
A good movie. It's a good documentary movie.
Hey, you know, that's more than Ryan's teachers can get out of him.
Hey, you know, so I thought the movie was really well done, very well made. I know Russ Kendall worked on it. He was the director, and I've met Russ before, and he's a really cool guy. And I was pretty sure it was going to come out well. But
is Russ the one who interviewed you, Steve?
No, Russ
Alarm
was
historian.
Not there. So what Jeff is referring to is that a couple years ago, 2013, I went down to a studio in Santa Monica and did a 2-hour interview for the movie. Now, the same film crew, and James Chippendale was there, as well as the photographer, who's really cool, who was photographer in the movie too as well. I got to think of his name, but he was cool. All those guys were there, and we did a 2-hour interview, and I believe they did the same thing with like 50 other people. So I had no illusions that anything that I said would actually make it into the movie. But it actually did, and in some ways, it was a little embarrassing.
Were there two or three?
Well, there's two shots of me talking.
And one of you speaking, right?
One of
and
me
it was
speaking.
Not embarrassing at all, Steve. You said great stuff.
I think the point where I said something about how the band sort of made a big mistake by not getting back together with Mike, I think it made me sound like a jerk. And I wasn't trying to be that way, but I think as those interviews got going, that was probably an hour in.
Right, you
got a little punchy.
You're probably a little tired, probably a little bit thirsty.
Yeah.
And he's asking you, what, when after bands reunited, they didn't get back together, and you were like,
yeah, I was like, well,
they made a huge mistake.
I said, I think I don't remember what the actual quote is to see the movie, but it was that, there was a quote about UCLA, and then something else that I can't remember. But I was very pleased that some of it made it in there. I was nearly positive nothing would have. So it was nice to be part of that alarm movie. So in general, Jeff, what did you think of the story of the documentary? I mean, you know a lot of the story already.
I think they did a really good job of showing and telling the Mike Peters story. They didn't. If anyone sees the original preview, the 2.5 minute preview, a lot has been recut, and so the same exact content is not in the movie. It's in there in a different way, but it's not exactly the same. So I was looking for things that I had heard, but I didn't hear them or see them because they were not necessarily eliminated. They just weren't in the movie. That's
right.
The difference.
I mean, this happens all the time. You know, when the previews for Star Wars Rogue Squadron had almost nearly all the content in those was not in the actual movie.
I know.
So
I loved Billy Corgan's interview.
Billy Corgan was cool. Martha Quinn stood out.
She stood out.
Richard Blade stood out. Slim Jim Phantom stood out. There were a lot of great ones.
Yeah,
in there.
There's. I mean, that's just naming a few of the people that are.
Cy Cernan stood out.
Even had Danny Cohen.
Jules is in there, of course.
Well, their old roadie. What was his name? Who had that show on the BBC? Also,
I want to say Red Eye, but it's not. It's
whatever. He was hilarious. Yeah. So it was the movie. And the way it's constructed is very good. I thought there would be a little bit more. I'm not going to criticize it at all. I just thought there would be a little more camo jacket in Man in the Camo Jacket.
Oh, well, I think they, you know, I mean, he wears a camo jacket most. What did you want them to do? Like, discuss his wardrobe? Like, what do you mean by that?
Nothing. I just thought that I would see more camo jacket.
I think there was enough camo jacket.
There was a good amount of camo jacket.
I like that they didn't focus on the camo jacket.
I think it's very good. I think the cool thing is that when you and I went and saw them in River, Mike Peters travel with Jules when he found he was sick and hadn't told anyone.
Right.
We saw a show in Riverside where he got on stage and he had
at the National Orange Show.
Yes, and he had a single on the radio on that radio station. He didn't play it. It was the
Shine On.
Shine On, and he and basically people probably said, "Who's the man in the camo jacket?" And basically that's where it comes from.
Not necessarily,
but I'm just saying that basically is it. Like, who's that dude in the camo jacket? And you see lots of pictures of him from back then, and he looks exactly like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he looks just like Kurt Cobain. That was nutty.
It was nutty. He looks just like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I didn't realize
Young
that.
Peters
at the time.
In a camo jacket with his goatee and his long blonde hair looks like Kurt Cobain. Anyway, so for me though, having never seen any part of it all before, it was really good. It was better than many documentaries that I see on Netflix. So I'm hoping that it gets there and it gets a lot of people.
It was
and it
super
gets
better. So I watch lots of Netflix documentaries about music. There's a ton on there, right? One of my favorites was the Twisted Sister documentary, which covers everything up until when they got famous. And that's a pretty cool documentary, but it is long, and it really tries to pull Twisted Sisters, like, the lore out of them, you know, like it stretches the Twisted Sister lore. I liked about this one. This one was packed and really only, like, alludes to certain things.
It's pretty dense with content. Doesn't play every single. Does show the major shows. Has some content that I'd never seen before. I mean, show wise.
There's some pretty funny personal videos of Mike Peters in there.
Yeah. Okay. The one his video to Jules.
Don't ruin it. Don't. No spoilers. Jules, no spoilers.
When he's on the road is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's really funny. No, we're not going to spoil the.
Sorry,
thing.
I didn't want to spoil. It. You're right. It's hilarious. What did you think, Steve?
I thought that it was a really well-made documentary. I thought that it told a great story. admittingly, I know a lot more about James Chippendale than I did before, and I think that's a good thing. He's a really good partner to Mike, and it's really cool to see like how that relationship grew and adjusted and
the
came
story
from.
Of his battle with cancer, which no one's really heard before that much, is fantastic.
It's really cool. Again, no spoilers here, but I think that added to, Mike's story, obviously, which is fantastic. And they don't even tell the whole thing. Like, I think at some point when, Mike Peters, the third bout of cancer, it's like almost like too much for the movie, right? Like, it's like, not again, which is really sad. But I mean, it was like it was already emotionally, like hard hitting enough
I wish they had been able to show a little bit of the poppies falling from the sky.
They showed some at the end.
A little bit more. I mean,
yeah, not trying to spoil the movie or anything. I think a lot of people know how it ends.
Yeah.
There's no need to spoil the ending. We won't.
So what did you think about the Q&A? There are some interesting questions that we're going to try to get those stuck in there.
Yeah, I think there's a great question in the Q&A, which will, we could even cut it in right here. So someone asked in the Q&A, it was Floyd from...
Of course it was Floyd.
Floyd's Ordeal asked a question about, like, what's the one thing that Mike Peters that he would like people to remember him for? And I want you to hear the answer in context right now.
Floyd. First of all, I want to say the movie was absolutely fantastic. That was an amazing movie. Very well produced and very, very good movie. You've accomplished a lot of amazing things, not only from being in just a great band, but also this whole thing with Love, Hope, and Strength. What is the one thing that you want all of us to remember you by?
Good question, yeah, you flummoxed me there. As a friend.
There you go.
You know, someone who came in the world, was in your corner, down. I got this, wave the towel, get back in there. That's what I always thought of music. Muhammad Ali and Angelo Dundee. Yeah. I hope to think the fans out there are likely to know I've got Mike Peters in their corner.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you
go.
So
that was a good one.
So
it's a
pretty good answer.
I really like the guy's question to Richard Blade.
What was that one?
You'll hear it.
Oh, yeah. Let's cut it in right now.
Cut it in right now.
And on the TV shows that I was doing, Video One and MV3, I don't know if anyone watched that in Los Angeles. There you go. Well, this guy here, who's been taking the photos, produced all those shows, Peter Faser. To us, we would talk about the different bands, and we would group them together. We would group, Duran and Spandau, and in a way, OMD and Visage, the New Romantics. But we also had our rockers, and to Peter and I, there was a pantheon of great rockers. And it was Simple Minds, it was The Alarm, it was U2, and who am I forgetting? Big Country, but over here, Big Country were nowhere near as big as they were in the UK, but it was definitely those three. It was The Alarm, Simple Minds, and U2. And for the longest time, there was, particularly in the early days of Video One, there was no difference between them. It was really 85 and onwards that U2 took off. So it's hard to say why one band soars and the other one stays the same. But for their fans, to me, it was as much... Peter, I'm writing a book, okay? I haven't announced this yet, but one of the things, Peter and I had a meeting, and The Alarm is important to me in the book. And Peter said, what about U2? And I said, well, I didn't really interact with U2. He said, yes, you did. You did the live broadcast on television for the Rattle and the Hunt premiere. I've forgotten that I was there with Bono and the guys when they were playing. I remember everything about this guy. So, to me, he's a bigger star than them. So I
want to go get... Richard Blade said that the guy who produced MV3 and Video One was there as well.
He was sitting right in front of me, too.
I wanted to ask him a question about Video One or MV3, but I feel
those
like...
Those are our local video shows for anyone who didn't grow up in Southern California. Because I don't know if they were syndicated. may have been syndicated, for all I know, but I don't know. No, it was totally different. A local video show that showed The Stand a bunch of times and then which showed Midnight Oil a lot. But they played a lot of A-ha.
they love that
A-ha song. Yeah, that song.
Yeah,
exactly.
Take On Me, Ryan.
Great song. And they played Thompson Twins and things like that a lot. So it was, you know, they got the...
Bananarama.
Yeah, Bananarama. They got the alarm every once in a while. They really were not an everyday thing. They were...
Every few days,
or you know, when, yeah, 68 Guns, Stand. I didn't see too many other ones after that, but I don't remember watching that too much later on in high school. The show, Mike started playing acoustic at the beginning, played just an incredible version of a song that's gonna come on the second record.
Peace Now. Is it Peace?
It's Peace. Always either Peace Now or Peace. It's the one that some people may have heard or seen in concert where he talks about the no guitars in the War Machine.
Yeah, let's cut in a tiny bit of that.
You have some of that?
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic.
Yeah!
See you
later. Peace has freedom on the garage wall. That cap in any fog, rising up from below the ground with a pitchfork and a shout.
I mean, the acoustic show was great again. And, you know, Mike with his beatbox.
Unfortunately, during the show, the Deceiver broke. But up until when they did an acoustic show, Mike did about, I would say, 10 songs. And then he did another maybe 10 electric. And the electric was a pseudo-electric show. Smiley just kicking butt on drums, James Stevenson playing bass, but incredible bass, and Mike playing lead guitar on the Deceiver. So a lot of the lead that usually would think would be played by, you know, by James was actually played on the Deceiver by Mike, and it sounds really good. But in the middle of Spirit of 76, the Deceiver broke.
Did it break?
Yeah. Well, one of that's why he had to change to the, to the white guitar.
Oh, that's right. He did.
He changed to the Deceiver from... Anyway, whatever. He was playing... He was not playing the black guitar, and he changed it in the middle of the show, where they ended up the show with one guitar, which sounded great, and then just another incredible version of The Cross.
That made me want to ask Mike if Billy Duffy played on that original version.
I know, because Billy Duffy is just an incredible guitar player. Now, I do think James can play just as well as Billy when it gets to the alarm song. So, I don't think, you know, I think there's very little separating those two as guitar players.
But as a show, it was 90 minutes, actually went on more than that. It ended up being almost 100,
yeah,
almost 100 minutes.
It went a little over time there, but anywhere in a theater that was supposed to be...
The James Bridge Theater in UCLA.
An acoustic theater? I'm sorry, there's...
Whoa!
I'm trying to turn off the radio.
That's us driving in Jeff's car right now and swerving.
I'm trying to turn off the radio. that we went, they went a little over again, and they weren't supposed to play electric, but they basically did the same style of show that they played at the store, at the record store, which sounded fantastic when I watched the stream on Paul's stream from on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
And Paul was sitting in front of us with Mike Starner, it was just it was an incredible experience. I really liked it. I'm sad the rest of our families didn't get to go, yeah. But I loved having Ryan there. So thanks for going, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a tight gathering. Like you went in, you know, they Richard Blade introduced Mike, or Mike introduced Richard Blade. They showed the movie. They did a Q&A. There was a little break, acoustic set. A few electric songs and done, but it really felt satisfying.
The good thing about this one was it was a sit-down venue, but as other times when I've asked Mike to please have some way for people to stand up when he plays electric, he just basically told everyone to stand up.
And they did.
Great. He didn't stand up because I told him to or anything. I just mean it was fantastic that they did.
It was a nice, good stand-up show. By the end,
my voice hurt, so
voice
my ears
hurt. Sing along. It was. I'm not going to say it was good as the gathering, you know, 19 years ago.
No,
because
it didn't go on for 4 hours or anything like that.
But I mean, it's also 20 years down the line.
Is it able to get a copy of Camo Jacket just like you?
It's for guys like Jeff and I who can't get to Wales anymore because of so much stuff that's going on in our lives. It was worth getting to. And I hope that we get this published before the New York gathering so people can hear that it's really worth going to. I mean, it's probably sold out already.
The New York gathering has been sold out for weeks, Steve.
Yeah.
They actually added 40 more tickets today, which probably will all be gone by the time anyone hears this podcast.
We'll all be gone.
This one was sold out also.
And it was a good crowd too. I have to say,
there are some plus ones or twos that didn't show up of ours, so that lightened the load a little bit and made maybe the fire marshal not have to come in. But it definitely was a great set of just rabid Alarm fans, which was great.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of new people. You know, I mean, the thing that's kind of cool about Love, Hope, Strength is that it's brought in so many different new people. Than they were there before. So that was cool. We saw Greg Pontius.
Greg was there.
I got to confirm that he did work on Doom, drawing characters for game Doom, which is pretty amazing. Awesome.
Brian Travis was there.
I didn't see Brian.
Brian Travis was there with his girlfriend, and I talked to him a little about his record, which I purchased, and it's just utterly fantastic.
Is it really good?
And if anyone listening to this wants to hear incredible music inspired by The Alarm, Brian Travis, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I'm waiting for this guy to do what he's going to do. Sorry, little car problems driving. Someone in a...
car trouble, and it's not the Adamant song.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Trafficking. It's trafficking.
Trafficking, exactly. Can we play a little trafficking here?
No, maybe.
Yeah, let's play a little trafficking here. We'll play this.
Here we go. It's Y2K. The antifreeze is on the way. Search your soul. Free your mind today. Today.
So a lot of driving. So, and maybe, wait,
Wait, how about the, yeah,
every day I get up from off of the floor, I keep on coming back for more and more. So many times I get it in the face, I keep on running till my dying day. Rain on the roadway, thunder in the sky, the light of day disappears from sight. As the road opens up in front of my eyes, these wheels are burning up the miles. The road opens up in front of my eyes, the only limitation is in my mind.
And you know what else we can do?
What else can we do?
Down the road.
Down the road also. Those are okay.
Small town boy with big town trees. Living easy, sleeping rough. I took my chances any way they come. Brought up on it, taught to be tough. Bonded together in blood. Hide to who I am, shoulder to shoulder, taking on this world. I was
any other road songs?
Probably. Oh, there's rivers to cross, but we're not going across the river.
What about Road to Mexico?
Road to Mexico.
Dave Sharp.
Crazy days in New York. Avenue A. Somewhere through the streetlights, you could hear the music play. Everybody's swinging now, they gotta change a pace. Candy Corona down here in the marketplace. Gangmen along the bridge, twisted from the start. But they said, hold on, you're way off course. Now you're gone too far. Remember what you started. Ain't it time for you to blow? Back to working for the dollar on the road.
Sharp, one of my favorite Dave Sharp songs.
That's
ever.
A good song.
That's by Fastball, Ryan. Is Closing Time by Fastball?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, was the guy in no, it wasn't Fastball. Who was the dude who drank himself into out of his band? In the Camel Jacket movie.
Was it Fastball? No, he was in another
band that was like.
They came around the same time as Fastball.
Driving and Crying?
No.
Driving and Crying is cool.
Driving and Crying documentary, which you cannot see, but I have two copies of. Cannot see.
I have it.
On is fantastic. Who wants another documentary?
So all in all, the LA Gathering success.
LA Gathering success, and one other interesting alarm note is that. Episode 10 of 13 Reasons Why, which I think is just an incredible series that's on Netflix right now. It comes from a young adult novel, but they did an incredible job of turning it into something that is really compelling. Episode 10's credits have the stand in it, and there's
it's not just the credits. And anyway, we're gonna
is
have
it not just the credits.
I planned a whole podcast on.
Let me say something about
because it starts before the credits. And
it's just like Black Mirror's shut up and dance.
And it's extremely important to the story.
Now, in my version of Netflix, it changes to the next episode.
Yeah, no, right.
Way before you get to that. And so I didn't get to hear the whole thing.
No, you don't get the whole thing, but I mean, it's incredibly important. Anyway, let's not talk about that now. That's a good teaser for the next podcast, because finally we're going to have two podcasts in a row that aren't going to come out. No. 9 months after one another.
We promised to do a monthly alarm podcast. There's so many things going on right now. So much stuff going on. Dave Sharp's going to be playing live, going to open for the band in Europe.
Oh, yeah, Dave Sharp. Let's just point that out.
They're coming out on the Vans tour.
Dave was the only person, alarm-related person I know of, that did not speak a word in the Man in the Camo Jacket movie. However, he's touring with the alarm.
He's opening
for them. So... I don't know about I don't know if Dave just didn't want to do it. You know, Dave's notoriously quiet.
He's a quiet guy.
Notoriously doesn't do that sort of thing. But it was great to it was great to hear that he was going to be on the tour. So Dave will be touring. Lots of stuff coming up. Like you said, Vans Warped Tour. lots of shows in the summer. Lots of great. So it'll be.
We do plan to have
a
podcast at least once a month for this entire year. This is the first one of many. We do have one where we're going to go through our favorite
alarm songs,
favorite alarm albums that we'd put together.
Oh yeah, the album that we would both make, which is funny because the cross is on mine, and that was it was so great to hear that.
Well, album of all of the songs actually released to the public, not just ones we only know about because we got a tape or an MP3 from Mike that never turned into something.
Right, those don't count.
Those don't count, and neither do.
But I mean,
solo.
We played one of those on our first podcast.
Yeah, we did
last June, the test podcast.
And I mean, anything that's been recorded on a CD and sold to the public is okay. Anyway, we'll get to that. That'll be another podcast down the line.
Sure.
Let's go out with a song. What song do you want to go? You know what? Let's play a little bit of the new. I'm going to call it a hit. The new hit single.
Oh, from the man in the camo jacket. Yeah, you mean Coming Backwards.
Coming Backwards.
That will leave you with Coming Backwards.
So this has been Never Let the Fire Die. The Alarm Podcast.
Number two.
Special guest.
And with Ryan.
Ryan, special guest, say goodbye.
Special guest of Ryan.
Goodbye.
All right. And
Ryan's 12, so he's not actually 3. We did not take a 3-year-old. Anyway, Never Let the Fire Die, Alarm Podcast, and we're going out with this incredible song that I really love.
No, coming Backwards.
Coming Backwards.
My profile picture's not the real me. I confess, I'm not what I seem. My emotions are the only thing that I have betrayed. Scratch the surface, you'll see I bleed. Just like any other human being. When I cry in the night, I won't ever let you see the tears. Over, under, sideways, down. Inside, outside.
Couple show notes before we end. I want to say that a couple things I missed. One, Russ Kendall absolutely was there interviewing people for Man in the Camo Jacket, and he certainly interviewed me. I have no idea why I brain farted on that. Two, we're going to have to confirm with Mike which guitar broke and which one he was playing. I think Jeff was a little confused there, so we'll figure that one out and report next time. We missed Dave Sharp's Big Road Blues song, unfortunately, in our road songs. I want to point out that was at the point we did almost get into that accident on the freeway, so I think we were a little nervous. Anyway, it was fun to do a second show. I'm so happy we got it done.
This has been the Never Let the Fire Die podcast, the official podcast of TheAlarm.com. Never Let the Fire Die is hosted by Steve Fulton and Jeff Fulton. See you next time.